see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your lights are shining free. I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world.
Happy New Year. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. This is a challenging time for light workers on Earth with so many loud voices talking. Much of the information that's coming down from the universe is very polarized in nature, with much about political dissent and social unrest. Know that we can rely on the information and the light workers to keep the spiritual focus with a spiritual work that has been given to you. And now you are giving to the people around you as you follow your destiny and your personal balance in your thoughts and emotions so that you can continue with your spiritual work as designated and assigned to you. VBS Radio and Let's Find Out is about giving you the strength and support to do that. We are here to provide information, to help you with your concerns, to answer questions, and to be there for you. The Let's Find Out staff and people who share with us on the show are interested in maintaining balance, caring, thoughtfulness, and healing as we proceed through these very difficult 10 years coming in the next decade. If you think that the changes around you have been exceptional and the energies have been unusual, brace yourselves. We're coming into a new decade, and this is only the beginning of a rough 10-year period with a shift, an upshift of very dramatic and powerful and life-changing energies. This energetic force is about destruction before reconstruction, as we reach deep into our souls and find out and establish a new way of living. A change in the way of living for the better of all humans and animals and plant life on this planet. We are fighting to preserve the earth, to make changes that are positive, and to live with the balance of love, peace, and harmony. Trust that. Know that. It is deeply appreciated that you are taking the time to listen to Let's Find Out. It is also appreciated that you are taking the time to hear any of the programs on BBS Radio. We are expanding, we've come a long way, and we have overcome the impossible by saying, so what? We have to forge ahead. So again, we wish you a happy new year as we enter 2019. And now it's time to listen to Elizabeth Joyce and her guests on Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Welcome to 2019. We're about to enter it in one more day on New Year's Eve. And tonight I have my very wonderful special astrologer with us, Mark Dodish. And we are going to tell you about the effects of the winter solstice, the nodes changing, and what's coming with these three special full moons in 2019. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Another year already.
I know. I can't believe it. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So why don't we begin with December and we had a 28 degrees Cancer moon and we had the winter solstice. To talk a little bit about what that's going to bring us between now and March.
Well, of course, as you say, we cast a chart for winter solstice and that gives us a forecast for the coming 3 months. Until spring. And first off, I want to say that there's going to be a little bit of a mixture. So people are going to need to work on multiple levels at the same time. The most fun part of it is the planet Mercury and Jupiter are aligned at the chart for solstice. And Mercury is ideas. It's opening our mind to new possibilities. It's communications. And Jupiter is expansive, do it big. I jokingly call them the Santa Claus of the zodiac.
Oh, it's so true.
It's a great time for people to be opening up to expansive, big ideas. And of course, the price is you have to be willing to open your belief system to something larger. So limited thinking doesn't really work under this, but it's a genuine opportunity.
Right.
Now, along with that, the moon at solstice itself was in Gemini, and it made a challenge to the planet Mars, which we call a square, as I know you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is the moon, which wants to be warm and fuzzy and nurturing and curl up by the fire, was in a very intellectual, curious Gemini. And then Mars, which is normally this male warrior, gung-ho, I want it, I go attack it, is in the very soft, divine feminine Pisces. So number one, a part of this message for the first 3 months of the year is our actions and our emotions on the same page? Are we feeling our emotions or are we thinking about them, you know, analyzing them?
And there's a difference between thinking and emotional, because when it's emotional, it's really on the body. When it's thinking, it isn't quite on the body yet. And that's the time when it's best to do your meditation so that you can make the decision, which then becomes emotional, right, Mark?
Yes, and the way mm-hmm. I put them together to make it sound nice instead of a challenge is we need to bring out what we'll call our spiritual, intuitive, peaceful warrior to open up to new ideas so that we can expand in this year ahead.
Right.
So,
and I think it's going to be so full of fast-paced changes. If we think last year went fast, this year is going to go as fast, don't you think, Mark?
I do, but I think that there's going to be a fast and slow dynamic going on all at the same time.
Oh.
Because, as you know, we're going to be talking over the next year that there's this big alignment in Capricorn coming in 2020.
Right.
And, of course, I would assume at the spring equinox talk that we do, we'll talk more fully on that. But that's this slow but sure kind of energy. And at the same time, we have this quick Mercury and this do it big, hurry up Jupiter. And so
yeah.
We're all going to have to get used to working at multiple levels at the same time.
Or maybe working two jobs, Mark. Some people will be working two jobs, or some people have to balance taking care of the kids and going to work at the same time. They're really going to have to focus a little bit more on it. We have challenges coming.
And, you know, one of the, to go along with that thought, which is a great one, is that could be the people who are out there working in some job that they don't really like anymore,
mm-hmm.
but they can't just up and quit the job. So they start something on the side to get it up and rolling while they still keep their day job would be another
right.
way of doing that.
Or some parents could have a child in college and are looking at how to get them through with a little extra cash.
Now, this could also play out in relationships. Do I want this relationship or I want that relationship?
Right. I do think a lot of people are going to be separating or uniting. And I do think that I think their focus is going to change. But you know what I think, Mark? I think that from the time that we've had the activity in the summer and through this fall, we certainly in October had a lot of finality energy. Now we're coming into the 0 degrees. Full moons, January, February, and March, and that's going to bring new beginnings.
And since you bring that up, obviously we need to tell everybody that we have the moons in January are eclipses, which adds an extra oomph to this solstice chart that
now,
we don't have at other times.
Our first eclipse is on the 5th, right?
Yes, and that
but
one,
that's not a 0 degrees one. The one I was talking about was the Leo 0 degrees at the end of the month. But go ahead, tell us about both of them.
Yeah, let's do them in order just because my brain works that way.
Mine too.
Elizabeth, I know you know this, but in astrology we say that there's 10 planets. And we count the sun and moon as a planet just to make our terminology easier. And at the January 5th solar eclipse, there's going to be 5 planets in Capricorn. So 5 of the 10 planets are in Capricorn. And, of course, Capricorn is, we use words like restructuring. I sacrifice it in the short term for the long-term good. And then the other thing, just to add a little fuel to the fire here, is, and this is just a general sweeping statement, so I'll ask the astrologers who are listening not to hold me to technical precision, but the eclipses work in pairs or polarities for about a year and a half, and then they go away for about 9 years. So this is the first eclipse in Capricorn since 2011, So it's like the beginning of a series that's getting started. So beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this emphasis in Capricorn, we know that in 2020 there's going to be this big alignment in Capricorn that I didn't even know when the last time that happened, but prior to 1300 for sure. This is as far back as I've went.
So oh, that's interesting. Let me just say one thing. That could take us into past lives and meeting people from that time period when we were in a past life with them.
Ancient times, Akashic records.
Yes.
Going to old archaeology sites or hidden old secrets or ancient wisdom coming up to the surface would be really nice ways for that to work.
I was invited back to Egypt because they think that they have found in archaeology a whole new area like Giza. And that would be interesting. It's under sand, but it would be interesting to find out about that.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of thing we're going to see happening with ancient, whether that's each individual or whether that's on a collective level, that, shall we say, finding truth, because many of the myths that we operate under just aren't true anymore.
That's true.
Or we found that they're not true. And so I'm looking at this as kind of a, shall we call it a kickoff, or a grand opening to this big alignment that's going to happen in 2020 with this solar eclipse. It's the first of the Capricorn eclipses.
Right. So now, since Capricorn is the father and the disciplinarian, how do you see that playing out practically?
Well, we're already seeing it in the world because in many ways, this is Pluto moved into Capricorn back in 2008 to start the buildup. Saturn, the restructuring planet, moved into Capricorn in December of 2017 for 2.5 years. So it's already been building up. And we've seen in the world, we've seen taxes. We've seen restructuring of Brexit. There's the battle over the wall. Prejudice.
And the cyber coins, which are very dangerous.
Yeah. And so on a worldly level, we're seeing it as the very structure is being broken up and changed. Just look at Brexit in England.
Right.
Everything's being restructured at this point in time. And ideally, hopefully, we are doing what a Capricorn would do, which is we're sacrificing in the short term to restructure for our long term good.
Oh, boy, is that true. And the other interesting thing is this, that the 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds are all for the changes. It's the older people that are in fear and that are trying to hang on.
And, of course, we're watching all the they're not kids anymore, but the people who were born in the early 1990s have a lot of Capricorn in their natal charts. So perhaps they'll be the bellwether to show us what is going on with all of this.
And I think a lot of them are brilliant. And I think what they're going to do is bring new ideas in that the older folk haven't thought of yet that are going to benefit everybody. I really feel good about our technology and the way we're going. I also feel that we are going to be welcoming a lot of people that don't live on this planet or energy that doesn't live on this planet. And we're going to find out more about how that works. Because my theory is that we've always had extraterrestrials on the planet in energetic form that can't be seen with a naked eye. So it's going to be very interesting about how that all develops.
We'll have to watch because I know this is getting way ahead of ourselves, but when we get to 2021 and 2023, the emphasis is going to shift out of down-to-earth stable Capricorn into eclectic, eccentric Aquarius.
Right.
And so I would think that whether we're calling that the age of Aquarius really gets kicked into high gear or, all these new concepts come into being.
Well, the other thing about Aquarius is that it is futuristic. And it does, it's our doctors. Our doctors have to have Aquarian, our research. It's all Uranus, as you know. Uranus is always outer space, but it's also these wonderful new technologies of how to live better. One of them that I feel that would go with Aquarius a little bit is we're changing our housing, and Aquarius would be how to do that in this a constant weather change that we've had. This weather has been so disastrous. So I think that going into Aquarius is going to help us figure out how to live safer and better in the changing weathers.
And of course, with Capricorn being the sign before Aquarius, when it's in Capricorn, you're doing all the hard work of creating the foundation for all of that stuff to come in Aquarius. And so right now, where I live in Portland, Oregon, they're coming up with all these innovative ideas for living in community because people can't afford to buy houses in Portland anymore.
Well, I also think that we've had exceptional changes. I said that in my intro tonight, and that we have had a lot of energy that has been unusual. And we had better brace ourselves because it's only the beginning with all of this energy that you and I are seeing. I think we're having a very dramatic upshift. And by the time we get to Aquarius, we are going to have more people searching for their spiritual identity. Humanity is going to have to adapt, and there's no alternative, Mark.
And, you know, I think we'll start to see that this year. And I know this is abstract, but between January and September of this year, this planet Jupiter is making a 90-degree angle that we call a square to Neptune, which is our higher vision and our intuition. And so we're all being challenged this year to open up to a higher vision, to transform our belief systems, to, as with you and like your intuitive work, go beyond the veils of this world to see what is this we need to bring in from outside.
And I think that we need to also understand, I'm going to say this again, that our past lives and the people that we knew in past lives that have reincarnated as we have are going to start to show up. It's eerie.
And I would add to that, anyone who's still rolling around with any old childhood stories, you know, our recent distant past, you know, our childhood.
Yep.
Those things are going to come up to the surface too.
I do think so. And I think they have to be let go of. They're coming up to the surface and they bring fear and they bring regret. And sometimes we don't even know, why we feel the way we do inside. Like you might be walking down the street, Mark, and take a look at a person passing by you and feel drawn to that person and not know why.
Absolutely. And you know, what would be interesting, not to take us off on a tangent, but we know that Chiron, the wounded healer, a very famous healer teacher in ancient Greece, is at the final degrees of Pisces, which is the end of the zodiac. Mm-hmm. And so when you're at the end of the zodiac, you are closing out accounts.
Now, this is Chiron, right?
You said Chiron, yeah. I mean, he tested moving into Aries this past summer, but now he's at the very end of Pisces saying, what do we need to complete? What are we done? And being a healer, what is it we need to heal so that we can move forward?
Right. And you know, that's funny, Mark, because my cusp is 29 degrees Pisces, and that can go from the third house to the fourth house. So that's making changes in my living situation, a change in the way of living.
Really? And it could bring up, not to get personal, but old family stuff or you know, that sort of thing could go on.
But that can be good, too. That can be forgiveness and you know, embracing and very positive.
And, you know, not to overload people, but you mentioned earlier that we haven't really got to yet is the lunar eclipse on January 20th is at the very first degree of Leo and Aquarius, as you mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the thing we need to add to that, it's a supermoon, and it's the last of a series of eclipses in Leo and Aquarius that have been going on since the spring of 2017.
So that's interesting.
Kind of the feeling here is this solar eclipse on January 5th is new beginnings and new starts. And the lunar eclipse, which is a very big one, is a supermoon, which means it's amplified, and it's an ending.
Yep.
And Leo says, where is your heart engaged? Where is it not? Are you having any fun? Because Leo, we know, likes to play. And Aquarius says, we hold the higher ideal. It's associated with groups, friends, organizations. So in other words, is your heart engaged in the friends or groups or organizations in your life? Or is it time to reach out for new groups, organizations, establish new friendships?
And it also can mean growth. For example, if you're in the work that we are in, it can mean that all of a sudden you got an opportunity. Maybe, Mark, you'd have an opportunity to have your own radio show, or I'd have an opportunity to make my movie and to go ahead with that energy. It's going to expand the knowledge. And I do see the spiritual people, the light workers, expanding and being more embraced by the world rather than pushed away.
Yeah. And it from the January perspective, it starts with, how are we dealing with our Capricorn boundaries? Are we being healthy, saying yes when we mean yes and no when we mean no? Are we willing to work for the long term, because that's what Capricorn does? Mm-hmm. And with the Leo Aquarius supermoon lunar eclipse, is our heart in it, or are we doing it for the wrong reasons? You know, doing it for the money or doing it out of guilt or obligation, all that stuff.
So sum up January for me. We have two eclipses. We have the first one is in Capricorn. The second one is in Leo. What else is happening in January? Can we sum it up?
Yep. So we got the beginnings with the solar eclipse, the endings with the lunar eclipse. We have that Jupiter square Neptune, which is being challenged to open our belief system to a higher vision, to open our intuition.
What day is that?
Officially, it's January 13th, but you know how the planets go forward, retrograde, forward.
Yeah, there's 3 days and 3 days.
So in other words, it's starting a process that's going to carry us to September.
I see. So let's now move into February. Do we have two eclipses in February? I know we have the Chinese New Year, and this year it's the year of the pig. Yeah. What else in February?
There aren't actually eclipses, but the full moon on the 19th of February is also a super moon. And of course, that's going to be at the very first degree of Virgo.
Right.
And we know Virgo is, and I'm lecturing myself here, okay? It's about cleaning our office and getting rid of the clutter and getting organized, and maybe doing a body purification or cleanse would be a great time to do something like that. Garage sale, okay?
Or a garage sale, or even a move. And clearing out and moving down, you know, the people that have their kids out of the house may be deciding to move into smaller quarters or something like that.
And with Virgo, I'm fond of saying, I say it all the time because I have some Virgo in my chart, is knowing the difference between being of service and being a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, or being a PA. You know what.
And of course, the new moon, which is on the 4th of February, I kind of took them out of order. That's in the middle degrees of Aquarius. And in particularly the old astrology, we call it the cross quarter holidays. Like Halloween is halfway between equinox and solstice. Well, so in astrology, 15 degrees of what we call the fixed signs, Aquarius, Leo, or Scorpio, are considered to have extra oomph, extra power to them, because they're like the halfway point between a solstice and equinox. And the people who follow a pagan philosophy are very familiar with what I'm talking about. And that new moon on February 4th is at the absolute middle degree of Aquarius.
It's 15?
15, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's
interesting. That, of course, is Aquarius. We need to open to a higher ideal. We need to create win-win situations. For example, Congress is probably up for some real complicated times, knowing the shift in power that's occurring.
Right.
Well, Aquarius is, hey, in spite of our problems, we've been fighting together for so long or fighting each other for so long, how can we create win-win environments? And play nicely together in spite of our different politics or our different religion or our different cultural values.
It's called acceptance and patience, kindness and understanding, instead of trying to force your ideas. And you learn this with children. If you're bringing up children, you can't force your ideas onto them. You have to allow them to embrace their ideas. But you can certainly tell somebody how you think without it being powerful or forceful. That's what we have to learn.
Aquarius is a complicated sign because on one level they help hold the higher ideal and they teach people to serve the greater good of the group. And on the other level, it's what we call a fixed air sign, which means if they're not careful, they can get stubborn and hard-headed. And every sign has its positive and negative. It's, you know, it's high vibration, it's lower vibration. And so that new moon in Aquarius would be a great opportunity for everybody, whether it's opening up to new groups, friends, organizations, to bring a higher ideal in, for us to work together and play nicely together, is really a good opportunity if people are willing to step into
it. Right. But I also feel medically that we are going to having new technology and a lot of healing, and that's very positive with that energy. That can bring in a new drug, maybe something to help the opioid situation, or something very positive for us.
Yeah, I'm hoping with all this Capricorn energy that they'll come up with something new for knee replacements.
Oh, no, you got to have one of them. My girlfriend just had that, and she's doing okay. Well, now let's tiptoe into March and tell us what's happening in March.
Well, the first off, and you're not going to like this because you've got a lot of planets in Pisces, but
I know
our next Mercury retrograde, which is March 5th to 28th, is going to be in Pisces.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll use you as our bellwether to figure out what that means.
Oh,
well, obviously, opening to new vision. You with the TV or with the movies, you know, Pisces rules the film and photography business.
Great.
So that could be you doing whatever editing they require or things of
or
that
nature. Or rewrite.
Rewrites or, you know, the stuff that they make you do would be on one level. But opening up to a higher vision, or even since for many people it will be spring break, sneaking away for a short, quick trip to a watery place.
Oh, that would be fun. Thing. I'd like that.
But probably the bigger thing that, and people may not see it happening or feel it, probably feel it, maybe don't see it. But at the new moon, which is on the 6th of March, the planet Uranus is going to move into Taurus through about 2026. So we know that Uranus, over this past summer of 2018, poked its nose in to test the waters of Taurus. And, you know, it hasn't been in Taurus since the 1930s. That was the social security, the New Deal. That was when Hitler was getting kind of his ramping up kind of a thing going on. It was right after the Depression.
And so we could actually, we actually could solve maybe some of these financial problems that we have over a period of time. The, Uranus, of course, is sudden. And it's sudden, fast, and quick. But I understand that when it's in Taurus, that it's much better for our manufacturing, for our money that we bring into the country, and for how we relate financially. So it's going to bring a change about finances to me.
It'll certainly bring robotics in. So I don't know what that means for people being displaced from jobs.
Well, it's also going to help people with ambulatory problems.
Absolutely.
And maybe we'll drive, have the driverless cars, which to me are very frightening.
Yeah, all of that. And, of course, Taurus is associated with money, stocks, and bonds. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see, you know, the stock market is really kind of this elusive, non-real kind of a thing, the way it's been bouncing back and forth in December.
But I see it going up, especially since it's in Sagittarius, Jupiter in Sagittarius, I see the market straightening itself out and going up until perhaps October or November of 2019.
Yeah, and obviously the technology surrounding money is going to change as well.
Yep.
And whether that comes through the need because of theft and, you know, hacking and all that, or whether it's just that, and I don't know what you've experienced, but in my business, every year I see less and less cash and almost no checks anymore.
Everything is electronic. Yeah, I have that too.
Electronic is one of the shifts that's occurring. So so we'll want to watch money and, you know, and who knows.
And banks. I think banks are going to have to change. I mean, look at this horrible suit against Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
These banks have really gotten away with a lot, and I think that's going to stop. Maybe doing some cyber stuff will help, but in the long run, if we don't have any cash, then we have our freedom taken away. So there's two sides to that coin.
Well, and I have a client who's a bank manager in a one of the big companies, and they are actually downsizing or not hiring people to replace people who leave because the technology surrounding banking is all in the process of changing.
It is, and they're bringing the ATMs inside. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I talked with people. I know one was at Bank of America and then a couple of other banks, and they're not having outdoor ATM machines anymore because of security.
Yeah, so and what I would say in general is we're all going to need to practice some adaptability and willingness to change, because even if we don't change, the world around us is changing at an increasing pace.
And we have to learn to accept that. Another thing that's happening is, you know how you do the drive-through at the bank? They're taking those away. You're going to have to go inside and show identification. And people are not going to like that change, but it's got to be for a while, I suppose.
And I would imagine the technology of whether it's fingerprints or eye scans or things like that are going to become an increasing point of, I don't know, for my age group, it's Big Brother, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I also appreciate the reason for that happening.
Yeah, but sometimes they can go a little overboard. So let's wrap up the Mars-Saturn square in January. What do you have to say about that focus?
Well, you know, it's complicated because Mars wants it yesterday, hurry up, get going real fast. And Saturn is the long term. So the way I put them together to make it sound all nice and non-contradictory is being willing to put physical energy into your ambitions, but knowing that that physical energy you're putting in now is going to need long-term ramifications to go with it.
Right.
Okay.
So if you write something and you submit it to somebody that will either take it for further or not, I guess that's part of it. That's how I relate to it. Or if you wanted to get a new car, let's just say you should buy one that you know is going to hold up instead of one that is going to be a tin can.
You know that phrase, hurry up and wait?
Yeah, hurry up and take your time. That's my definition of patience, learning
now,
patience.
Let's talk about this on a nice level. Mars is spending the whole month of January in Aries and into early February. And so for people who are starting a new exercise program with the new year, we'd say, let's put our physical energy into getting our New Year's exercise resolution going.
Good.
But Saturn says we need to be in it for a disciplined long period of time. But Mars will kick it off and say, yes, I'm ready to get my body moving again.
Right. But so here's two things. You can do physical exercise, or you can decide that you're going to change your diet and lose weight slowly. But lose it.
Yeah.
Because that's excellent.
And make it a long-term change, not
make
just
it a permanent change, realizing that you eat junk food and you've got to change over to more healthy food. And our water systems have to be cleaned up in many, many areas. And that we decided that we're not going to accept this stuff in our water, so we have to build a new processing plant, and that takes time. So that's kind of like what it is, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. And I'd like to add a piece to it. And we talked about the lunar eclipse on January 20th. Well, your Mars square Saturn is on January 21st. So it's tied to this moon energy, the lunar eclipse energy. Mm-hmm. And we remember lunar eclipses are emotional. They pull us apart to put us back together in a better way, hopefully. Okay.
Right.
Well, on the 22nd, 2 days after the lunar eclipse, Venus aligns with Jupiter, which is the go buy a lottery ticket combination.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
You know how that's a lucky thing. Now, I'm always fond of reminding people that, if you're going to be lucky, you only need one lottery ticket. You don't need to buy a 100.
That's true. That's true. But they say, I don't know if you know this, let's tell this out to the audience. They say that if you buy 16, that you go over this lap, because I hear that as they print up, especially the scrapeball cards, they make it one every 15 tickets. So if you buy 16, you've got to have something winning.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I learned that.
But the thing I'll say is this Venus-Jupiter conjunction is in the sign Sagittarius. So for the people out there who know their chart, if they know where Sagittarius is, they know the area of their chart where the luck is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if it's in the sixth house, their luck could come from their hard work, not through a lottery ticket.
What about the first house?
First house, that's claiming self-identity, self-esteem, self-worth. I must place me first.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
First house. Where is it in your chart, Mark?
In my chart, it's going to be in the third house, communication, short, quick trips. And, of course, I'll be doing my January Seattle trip that I do every year.
And you're also planning the Greek trip. To tell people a little bit about Greece.
Yes, well, because Jupiter is in Sagittarius this year, which is a travel planet and travel sign, obviously it's good for anybody to do an adventure. And so we're going back to Greece. We went back in 2011. Now we're going to go back to a water trip to the islands. And because Uranus is moving into Taurus, well, we want to go to Crete, where the Minotaur, you know, the half horse, half bull was.
Yeah, neat.
That whole civilization. And, of course, many people believe that Atlantis or that region, you know, that Santorini is Atlantis, according to Plato.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then with all the Capricorn we talked about, which is ancient energy, we're going to go tap into old ancient energies at ancient sacred sites. You know.
It's going to be wonderful. Now, how can they reach you if they want to sign up for this fabulous trip?
I would go to the news, website astromark.us, astromark.us. There's a travel page. There's a document. They can download the quarterly newsletter that just came out at winter solstice, sign up for the email newsletter at astromark.us. So, lots of free information on the website.
Wonderful. And could you please give out the phone number where people could call to make an appointment?
Sure. I'm in the Pacific time zone, which is 503-252-1558.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. My guest tonight is Mark Dodich, and we will be back after these messages. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. And now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of December 31st through January 6th, 2019. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to 2019. On New Year's Day, the moon is in private Scorpio and the sun aligns with Saturn. This is an excellent combination for deep level inner work and meditation. Central theme for January's opening is cloudy skies. The sun is overcast because of its annual meeting with Saturn and a powerful total solar eclipse at the new moon on January 5th. On Wednesday, January 2nd, the Sun-Saturn connection carries news that the party's over. It's time to call it a day. It's time to take down your holiday decorations, clean up, and take responsibility for your past actions. On Wednesday and Thursday, the moon moves into highly sociable Sagittarius. This is especially strong on Thursday when there is a fun mental aspect between talkative Mercury and the out-of-the-ordinary Uranus. So go out and try something new. Just in case you weren't paying attention, this energy is repeated on Saturday, January 5th. There is a total solar eclipse in Capricorn. It will be interesting to watch the USA's relations with China as the path of the eclipse starts in northeast China and moves partially across the Pacific Ocean, embracing the Philippines and Hawaii. We have been feeling the effects of this energy for a couple of months now. This energy tends to be serious in tone because 5 of the 10 planets are in responsible, hard-working Capricorn. Although the first new moon of 2019 is a dark, quiet time when the seeds of new beginnings can be planted, the intensity of the energy of this eclipse, which is in close connection with Saturn and Pluto, turns this energy into a whistle-blowing stop sign. It's time to reflect on the past, your actions and emotions, but not for rushing into the future. Although this week is not time to begin something new, it provides a convenient excuse to wait a while before you begin your New Year's resolutions. Set some long-term goals and include your deadlines to make sure that you get these goals done. Remember, Pluto is involved in this combination, and the god of the underworld demands that you release anything that takes away your power, be it things, people, attitudes, or beliefs. Saturn is also tied to this eclipse, telling us it's best to work towards the long term rather than expecting immediate gratification. Mercury just moved into Capricorn until January 23rd, so make a concrete plan, write it down, and put the days to be completed on your calendar. Freedom-loving Uranus ends his retrograde cycle on Sunday. He's been retrograde since August of 2018. Uranus always promises to shake things up a bit, especially when he's coming out of retrograde. Although you may not see this in the outer world, it definitely gives you the feeling that you are ready for something fresh. Uranus is getting ready to make its first shift sign in 7 years, moving out of Aries and into Taurus. This will happen in late March. The planet Uranus brings about sudden and unexpected changes, and this earthly sign of Taurus rules security, housing, beauty, and money issues. Some of the surprises will show us what's ahead for technology, our weather patterns, as well as the world's economy. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. And now it's time to get back to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce and her guest astrologer, Mark Dodich. Elizabeth Joyce has just come out with a new bright clearing formula spray. This is a sanitizing and healing spray. It's extremely powerful and great for clearing away negative energy. If you've had a sickness or a cold, it helps to clear the room, as well as areas that have had heavy activity, your exercise area, or perhaps the dining room just after dinner. It is suggested to be used generously as needed to spiritually cleanse an object. For example, if you want to upgrade your crystals, you always do that on the new moon, and you could spray it with the healing spray, this bright spray, put it in the window on a 9, a 3, a 6, or a 12, and let it sit there for 3 hours, and you'll have a new crystal that will be clear for your thoughts and input for the following month. This spray cleanses an object or space of stagnant energy, and you can use it daily in your bathroom area or any area where you feel a tightness, a cloudiness, a place of where you can't breathe well, such as cigarette smoke or odors from cooking. This spray will clear the room immediately. It's also wonderful for body workers, massage therapists, and healers, and it can be used after every client to renew and rejuvenate the room. Elizabeth Joyce's Bright Clearing Formula can be purchased at new-visions.com or by calling 201-934-8986. And now let's get back to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I have a wonderful, helpful, uplifting surprise for you. I had a dream in the full months of 2017 about a tea mixture that I was to prepare. Blended according to Ayurvedic principles and chanting of ancient Sanskrit mantras to assure deep cellular healing and relief from within outward, Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea was born. This tea helps with illness because it penetrates any damaged cells in the body and flushes out poisons. If you are on heavy medication, this tea will be helpful with the effect, creating extra healing energy power. Drink the tea just before meditating or while listening to ascension music or chanting your mantra. The formula came from the divine and contains the holy Tulsa leaf from India. Because these tea leaves are freshly harvested, there is absolutely no caffeine in this tea. You can drink it hot or cold. The ingredients are honeybush, Tulsa leaf, turmeric, lemon peel, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves. This tea is not available in the stores as yet, but it will be very soon. It is available on my website, www.new-visions.com. You'll see the little icon of the tea box on the front page. So pick up a pouch, sit by the fireplace, get comfortable, play Ardas, and sip your tea. This elixir tea will also help you with troubled sleep. The tea can help you relax, to be calm, and to raise your vibration from within. It begins from the heart center outwards. I'm looking forward to helping you with your healing and your work from within. Thank you. If you wish to order the tea, you can call 201-934-8986 and leave us a message, as well as purchase it on the website. Don't wait to get your tea. The healing starts immediately. Thank you. We are continuing with our lecture series through 2019. On the night of Friday, January 4th, we will have our second lecture and continue in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, with the lecture series the first Friday of the month, every month, until June of 2018. Elizabeth Joyce is presenting a new lecture series for your personal spiritual transformation, The Power of the Inner Soul, Becoming Masters of the Planet. Elizabeth offers an internal blueprint for accessing the energies of ascension to ensure that you are ahead of the curve. Her spiritual, intuitive, and downloaded messages give an authoritative snapshot of the ongoing inner struggles that we all endure to understand the events that are happening to us, our community, our nation, and the world at large. Each meeting will involve a talk, a meditation, and instructions on how to stay attuned and connected to spirit. By keeping a critical eye on your balance, connection, and awareness, you will be able to go through the coming times in the safe, supportive, and loving atmosphere that you will create for yourself. Come join us as we work on our multidimensional transformation. This is held at the James Laura House, 132 North Main Street, Doylestown, Pennsylvania, 18901. Donations are requested to help with the expenses. Please RSVP if you know that you're definitely coming, but walk-ins are always welcome. Please come join us and bring a friend. Together we will work on improving the planet, improving our health, and improving our thought processing so that we can be in a place of love and comfort. So hopefully I'll see you there and we can begin the work together. We will try to record some of these sessions so that you may download them on the website to get the information. Thank you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy, known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written, practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul
and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. In the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you wanna hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and that was Perry Como singing Don't Let the Stars Get in Your Eyes. And I have tonight my astrologer friend, Mark Dodich, and we've been discussing about what's coming in January and February and March up until the spring equinox. So, Mark, is there anything else that you would like to add to the discussion? I know we did not discuss the full moon in March. Maybe you could just mention it a little bit. We'll do more when we're on in March.
Yeah, we could do that. We could also... people might like to know about Valentine's Day.
Oh, let's know about Valentine's Day.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
So the moon on Valentine's Day is going to be in Gemini. And Gemini means talk. So we, you know, obviously we're going to talk over dinner, or Gemini rules short, quick trips. So you and your partner might want to go take a short, quick trip somewhere. Might be a nice thing. And then the planet Mars, which is, you know, male warrior energy, we talked about it earlier being in Aries for exercise in January. Well, on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, Mars is going to move into Taurus. And we know Taurus likes their sensual pleasures. They like their chocolate and their massage and their flowers. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're honoring the sensual pleasure side of Valentine's Day, whether that's chocolate-covered strawberries or, you know, whatever your thing is.
Or a sexy night for two, right?
Yep. And Taurus likes things that they can count on, you know, like jewelry, you know, tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Gemini likes lots of talk. It likes versatility. It likes to open to new ideas, new things, or new places. Maybe a new hotel to go to for a couple of days would be great.
Or a trip to the warm country because of the snow.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is February 14th.
Yeah, and usually with Gemini, the normal language is short, quick trips.
Yep. It could be a four-day weekend.
Absolutely. That would be a great thing for people to do for Valentine's Day.
So it sounds like it's going to be very loving this year. And Gemini, of course, is chatter, chatter. And it's also communication, and we communicate in so many ways.
Yeah. And if I could, I don't mean to make this sound negative, but I do want to kind of throw out a warning. On February 12th, Mars and Uranus are going to align. And now we've already talked about Mars and Saturn earlier, but Mars and Uranus are both impatient, revolutionary, blow things up, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of energies. So if anyone has authority figure issues or impatience issues or anger issues, those days surrounding February 12th could be pretty volatile. And I'm sure if you watch the news, you know, not to be negative, but when you have one of those kind of harsh transits, it usually makes the news in some way, shape, or form.
Right, right. So it could be anything. And is that Aries, Uranus, and Mars?
It will 12th? Be right at the end of Aries and the beginning of Taurus.
Yeah, right, so that's right on the cusp, and that's what I was figuring. So, of course, that's impulsiveness. Aries is very impulsive, and Taurus might be guarded or maybe decide to have protection. So a little bit of both.
And the nice interpretation would be putting your physical ambition, roll up your sleeves, get to work, to go out and create some innovative new thing, the next computer app to get you rich or something like that, the next invention.
And the other thing I want to say is to be careful in traffic with road rage, and don't go to any malls during those 3 days, and in and 3 days out. From February 10th through to about the 14th, you should just stay cool, right?
Yeah, I would just, let's just say if the cop stops you for speeding, I wouldn't tell him to go shine his badge under that kind of influence.
Yeah, right.
Or if you've got authority figure issues, or if you have people in your life who have anger issues, I'd give them some extra space.
Okay. So we have the Virgo moon. No, we have the Leo moon first, then the Virgo moon. And what's the one in March? Libra?
The one at which will actually occur right with spring equinox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really right on spring equinox, very exact, obviously, is the Libra-Aries full moon.
Right.
That will be combined. So in other words, when we talk about spring equinox in the future, we'll be saying, okay, how are we balancing our relationship needs and our independence individuality needs?
Well, let's certainly plan on having you on March 17th so that we can discuss what's ahead. That would be great.
Sure, that'll be St. Patrick's Day. We'll do it up
there. Yeah, the day after my birthday, so we'll have a lot of fun. I love to party on St. Patty's Day.
One nice thing just to make mention of is the new moon on March 6th is going to be in the sign Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a term in astrology called rulership or dignity, which means that certain planets like certain signs. So the sun is going to align with Neptune, and Neptune's favorite sign is Pisces, and the new moon that day is in Pisces. So that means there's a whole lot of Piscean-type energy going on, which is great for opening up your intuition, meditation, of course, bursting any illusions or fantasy land things that you may have going on.
But it can be the start of filming a movie, too, which is what I'm hoping to be.
Filming a movie, for people who make YouTube videos, for some people go in a music direction, others might want to go on a cruise, you know, because the world's watery places.
There you go.
Opening up, or what I would jokingly call going off on a little vision quest, would be a great thing to do early in March.
That's great.
What is this life vision?
Thank you so much for all of this information. This has been wonderful, and I know we got a lot out to our audience, and I'm so glad that you'll be returning in March. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we have had Mark Dotich on. Mark, could you give your phone number out one more time, please?
Sure. My landline in the Pacific time zone is 503-252-1558, and website is astromark.us.
And I just want to say that Mark is also excellent at doing relocation charts. He's good with relocation charts, and he's good with lovers and compatibility. Also, if you have a new boss and you want to know how that's going to go, you can ask Mark Dotich. Just get the birthday. You do have to have the birthday, the year, the day. And what else, Mark, do you need to have for information?
Well, if they can get the time on a boss, it would be great. But if they can't get the birth time, just the birth date would be perfect.
Because you're comparing it with their chart, that's why. And
right.
Location, where they're born, location?
Now, the location, the time of birth is critical. You can't do location astrology without it. And with Jupiter in Sagittarius this year, I'm thinking a lot of people are going to be moving, or the way we're already seeing Jupiter in Sag is mm-hmm. the migration that's coming up from Central America.
Wow. That's true. But also, don't you need the birth location along with the time and the date?
Yeah, date, place, and time of birth, which is critical for relocation astrology.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. And we'll see you in March.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to everybody. And this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, we'll have a teaching class on Let's Find Out. And then we're going to have Sharon coming on with her numerology. And that would be the second Sunday in January, which is January 13th. And this is wonderful. We are now going into our meditation. Please get ready. We're going to listen to one of my favorite New Year's Eve songs. It's called Happy New Year, Baby by Joanne Campbell. And it was made back on the time when I was on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. So I hope you like it. And then we're going to do the meditation and Peace Begins, followed by Richard Schulman with We Can Live Together. We can all live together. Thank you for listening tonight. And Happy New Year, and good night.
Almost through. It's New Year's Eve, and I'm with you. Happy, happy New Year, baby. Joy of spring, the thrill.
And now it's time for the meditation. Sit in a comfortable chair, both feet flat on the floor with your legs uncrossed. Or you can lie down on the bed, or you can sit in the lotus position. Whatever makes you comfortable. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Put your right hand over your heart. Take another deep breath. And melt into the words as you listen. An open heart, an open mind, just being kind, and peace begins. We change the world in subtle ways, a word of praise, and peace begins. Don't look for peace in foreign lands. It happens here, where we are living. And all it takes is our forgiving. It has to start with you and me. We tell the truth. We play it fair. We learn to care, and peace begins. A helping hand, a friendly smile. We talk a while, and love begins. A promise made, a promise kept. We say we will, and so we do it. We take a vow, and then renew it. Our handshake is our guarantee. We try to find when tension rise, a common ground, a compromise. And when we do, we realize that loving wins. Then all the blame and all the fears will disappear and peace begins. Forget the past and let it go. Then love can grow and peace begins. When trouble comes, we stand aside. Let love abide, and peace begins. We make our choices every day. When love is ours, we radiate it. It only comes when we create it. It's up to you. It's up to me. When every man, and woman too, will take the time to talk it through, then peace will come, because it's true. Loving wins. Without a sound, the battle's done. The war is won, and peace begins. Merry Christmas, everyone. And now, sit, take a deep breath, and listen to the music of Richard Schulman.
Thank you.